idiot.
Hello, don't call me an idiot.
Josh is an idiot.
I'm sorry, guys. She's been bullying me ever since I started taking Yiddish.
This Jew over
something,
here.
Something about not being pure. I don't know.
Okay, guys, welcome to the Tipsy Tays.
Yes!
And we're bringing you part two
of the people stuffed in barrels.
The bodies in barrels. Also, my laptop is like fucked up somehow, so we're recording on my phone. So sorry if it turns out bad.
Yes, adapt, overcome.
Also, Josh is gay.
Yes. The reason why this part took so long
was because I had
fallen ill, but I am now back.
Yeah. But that's not, I really was just saying that you're gay.
Well, don't tell because anybody you're gay. That. Trump takes office in 2 days.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm straight. On Monday,
Josh is straight.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
his partner that he lives with, his roommate.
My roommate, Vicky.
So, this is part two.
This is a story about a girl that cried a river and drowned the whole world.
This is the story of a girl who gets put in a barrel of acid.
No!
So, next episode, we're going to have the last part of the story, part three, but this is part two. So, this is the Snowtown Murders, and like we already mentioned, also known as the Bodies in Barrels, so we'll get there. You have to listen to part one because there's so...
It was intense.
...much. It's basically this, like, quote, vigilante group, but they're not really vigilantes, but they see themselves as vigilantes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
There's, like, at least 5 people...
The Justice League.
Yeah, John Bunting is like the leader of this group, and then there's Robert Wagner, and then there's Vanessa/Barry Lane, who's possibly transgender, but we don't really know. But also is a pedophile.
Oh my God.
And this vigilante group is against pedophiles, so it doesn't really make any sense because
they
Vanessa,
only have one.
Yeah, because Vanessa is in the group, so... Anyway, they're hunting pedophiles, but not really. They kind of just hunt people who they say are pedophiles.
That they want to kill.
Yeah, and basically everybody in this group had, like, a really troubled past. Obviously, because how else do you turn out to be like this?
I feel like some loving kids turn into sociopathic murderers.
That's true. There are some that
or
it's like...
kin slayers.
No. I mean, that is true. Like, it's rare, I think, because most of the time they do have, like, really bad upbringings. But there are some that just, like...
One-offs that are just born evil.
Yeah, they had a normal childhood and bam. But it's not these kid. Guys. Not these guys.
No.
So in part one, I talked about how John had an older friend as a young teen who got him into his hobby of beating pedophiles, if you remember that. But again, it wasn't really pedophiles. It was just people that they said
they suspected
were pedophiles.
So they could have seen Miss Frizzle on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Be like, oh my God, you know what, though? She probably did. Honestly, please, Miss Frizzle. No more field trips.
Oh my God. Where they go and, like, they shrink the bus down and go in, like,
people's buttholes.
Someone's anus.
Yes. Girl, that's a booty hole.
So, part one, we kind of just went through the background of all these characters, and we ended with the first murder victim, which was Clinton, who they, like, suspected was a pedophile. He was not a pedophile. They just killed him.
I'm laughing not out of
nervously.
Because this is not funny.
Because also you'll see later that like they say that they kill people for being pedophiles, but then it really just devolves, like,
well, like, these people, crazily. there could be, like, people on the street like this that just mm-hmm. look at you and are like, oh,
yeah,
that's a chomo, and then just kill you.
Yep.
Terrifying.
And that kind of happens later. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on to victim number two, and his name is Ray Davies. He's in his mid-20s. He's living in a caravan behind his landlord's house.
That's sad.
His landlord is Suzanne Allen, who was also Ray Davies' former lover. And she's in her mid-40s.
Sounds about right.
So Suzanne, she accuses Ray, who also is supposedly an intellectually disabled man, of molesting a child and making sexual advances toward her grandsons. Which also, she's in her mid-40s and has grandchildren.
That's wild.
What the fuck?
This does not sound like a family of winners, baby.
No. I mean, yeah, this guy's living in a caravan.
Yeah, dating his
landlord. Yeah, yeah. You'll notice a lot of these people are
get him,
like...
Get him, Skate! He's been touching my grandbabies!
Oh my god! So... this, obviously, Ray denies these allegations, but these rumors get to John. Our friend John, who loves to kill people because he thinks they're pedophiles. So Ray is captured, tortured, and strangled to death on Christmas Day of 1995. And the five people from part one that I mentioned in this group are all present. And Christmas. On Christmas. And they all feel that Ray deserves this torture and murder.
What the fuck?
Because they all think that he's a pedophile.
That's so wild.
But really, John is just, like, manipulating them, all these people, to help him murder people because he just wants to murder people.
Yeah.
But he puts it under the guise of, oh, we're getting rid of pedophiles. But there's no proof that either of these two people that they've murdered so far are pedophiles. And that is a running theme in the rest of the story.
This is a running theme. They have no way to fact check whether or not they're killing the
rest. And also, Vanessa is literally a pedophile.
Yes.
And helped kill both of these people so far.
It's so true.
So Ray is buried in John's backyard. He was never reported missing, sadly.
That's
so
wild.
Yeah, so until all of this comes out later, no one had any idea that he was dead. Which is so sad.
That's sad and just wild.
So
imagine not having any friends or family.
Yeah, like nobody's looking for you. What the fuck? It's so scary. It's so sad. So now we're going to look at Suzanne, who was apparently into this murder stuff because she wants in on this group. And she also is apparently turned on by all of this because her and John start having a sexual relationship.
OMG.
I don't know what it is about this John guy because I've seen pictures of him. He's not cute. And he is pulling all of these women.
Are they beautiful women? Or are they,
I don't know,
big bitches?
I didn't look them up. But
see, we could be talking, you know, I'm not going to compare him to anybody, but well, you know what I'm saying. We could be talking real big bitch here.
But, like, still, he had his wife who left because he started a relationship with another woman, the Elizabeth woman.
You can't, he just has a lot of love.
And then now Suzanne.
Just a lot of love.
But now we're going to move on to victim number three. Can you guess who it is?
Is it Vanessa?
It's fucking Suzanne.
No, god damn it. Their love was so strong.
He couldn't handle it.
Handle it.
She became obsessed with John and he got annoyed.
And killed her?
So she disappears. She's reported missing by family. Police head to her house. And her house is trashed. But there's no sign of Suzanne.
She had enough.
Sadly, she ended up dismembered and buried in several garbage bags in John's backyard right next to Ray, her former lover.
Oh, but damn. So she was fucking Ray at first. And then fell head over heels, just obsessed in love with John.
And then John said, "You're annoying me.
I think I'm going to kill you. You look like a pedophile."
Yeah, exactly. So now you can see how it's like, okay, he's using this guise of like, oh, we're killing pedophiles, but also this girl annoyed me, so we're going to kill her too.
He got too power hungry.
But since there were no signs of foul play, she was just labeled as missing until...
No foul play? They found her... She was dismembered.
Well, no, they find her later dismembered.
Oh, I'm saying, oh my God.
Like, when she's just missing, there's like no signs of foul play, so they're like, well, she's just missing. We can't do anything. Like, they can't say, oh, she's been murdered. We're looking for a murderer, you know?
That's beautiful.
And they also make some money off of her because they start collecting her social security checks.
Damn.
But also, she was reported missing and somehow they were still cashing her checks, so I'm not really sure how that works.
Damn, you're right. You know what? They didn't track anything.
I mean, honestly. Oh, and also, this is in Australia, so I don't know if everything's different over there.
It takes a little while to catch up.
So, this also becomes a theme in their crimes. They steal money from their victims, cash their, like, government checks. Like, I guess this is, like, a really poor, like, poor areas that they're in, that they're, like, hunting these people. So, like, a lot of them are on disability or social security checks.
I can't believe this
like that
is
kind
Australia.
Of stuff. Yeah. And they also sometimes will sell their victims' belongings. So
what the fuck?
Just to get money out of it. So again, it's like, okay, are you killing because they're pedophiles or
crazy.
Because you want money?
Imagine being in this group and just being like, who are we going to kill tonight?
Yep. Right. Like, oh, I'm just annoyed by her.
Yeah,
let's get her.
She's so annoying. Everybody cut off a limb.
Yeah. And then dismember her. What the fuck? And honestly, I think I talk about it in part 3, but, like, it's so fucked up how they don't even actually get, convicted on her murder.
What?
Yeah, and I'll tell you about that later. So, at this point, John and his new girlfriend slash wife, I don't know, her name's Elizabeth, because he had his wife Veronica, but then she, like, is out of the picture, so...
Thank God.
I don't know. So now he's with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's two sons, so her and her two sons move with John, and they leave the bodies in the backyard of his old house. So that's Ray and Suzanne are in the backyard. Yep.
At this point, you might as well just stop the killing.
And at this point, we are only 3 victims in of 12.
God damn.
So, even though John and his new family have moved, he is still pals with his old neighbors, Robert and Vanessa. And in this new house of his... Okay, this is funny. It's not funny, but...
You funny bitch.
John has what he calls his rock spider wall.
What?
Which is essentially... like a crime wall. You know, like when people are like, oh, the red string, where you like string shit up to like connect this and that. But rock spider means... Rock spider is a term for someone who was sent to jail for pedophilia. So on the wall, there were pictures of people that he suspected were pedophiles. And then he had like, you know, the string and the thumbtacks and this and
what
that.
What the fuck?
And he was trying to get to all the pedophiles that were on his wall.
So were they all just... They were just crazy.
Yeah.
These people are mentally unwell.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously for killing, but also, like, it sounds like they really thought they were catching pedophiles.
Yeah. Yep.
Oof.
Or at least that's what they told
guys.
Themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was basically trying to get to all of these pedophiles and kill them, all these people that he had up on his wall.
Oh,
but
my God.
Again, most of them... We're not pedophiles.
Wait, you keep saying most of them weren't. Does that mean some of them are?
I'll tell you later.
They got some right, so...
I think it's in... I think it's in this part where we get to that. So, victim number four is 19-year-old Michael Gardiner. But Michael also went by Michelle, similarly to how Vanessa is also Barry.
Yes.
But, like, the gender is unknown.
Where are they finding all these genderqueer people?
I don't know. But also, John hates LGBTQ people.
So what the fuck's going on?
But he's surrounded by them.
He's probably in the closet. I bet he was sick and dead.
I bet he is, and I bet that's part of this. Is he still alive? I mean, he's in jail if he is still alive.
Yeah, right. Very lenient over in Australia.
No.
You just have to fight a spider.
No, he got like 12 life sentences or something.
Oh, thank God.
So, okay, this gets kind of convoluted, but at this point, so Vanessa and Robert have broken up. And so Michelle's landlady's cousin is now dating Robert. The landlady's cousin's name is Vicky.
Yes!
There's like 1,000 names, so I'm sorry.
What a beautiful name.
So, then John hears about this Michael/Michelle character. And John labels them as a pedophile.
Oh my God.
Because of course, this potentially transgender person is going to be labeled as a pedophile by John. Because he also just hates
the
queer people. Yeah. Yes. Like, so, just a side note, Michelle and the landlady, Nicole. So, Nicole's cousin is Vicky, but the landlady is Nicole.
Uh-huh.
So, Michelle and Nicole lived in the same building, so they were pretty close. They were like friends. They hung out and stuff. So Michelle was renting a room from Nicole's place. They had sleepovers. They would hang out all the time. And it's like this whole connection is just so fucked up because like Michelle didn't even know John and all these people. It's just like their name got back to John. And so he was like, we have to go kill this person.
Oh my God.
So Vicky had kids. So Vicky is dating Robert at this time. And apparently Michelle was playing with these kids and wrestling and supposedly put their hand over one of the kids' mouths. And so that's why they got branded as a pedophile.
What? That could easily be so.
Yeah. And also, like, Michelle/Michael is literally, like, not even 20 years old. Like,
Right. They're
just playing with kids. Like, what the fuck? Anyway, so Michelle's landlady, Nicole, went on a trip in September of 1997. So John and Robert head over to Michelle's and abduct Michelle and take Michelle to John's shed and torture and strangle them.
Oh my God.
And then Michelle is dismembered.
Oh.
And here's where the barrels come into play. Michelle is dismembered and the pieces are tossed into a barrel of acid.
What?
So then the group goes back to try to find Michelle's wallet because, like I said, they do a lot of this shit for money. So they're trying to find Michelle's bank card to get access to their money.
It was on the left leg.
Ah! It was up their butt.
It's wild.
So they can't find the wallet. But they do take some stuff from Michelle's place, like, to make it look like Michelle packed up and left.
Oh, my God.
But Nicole eventually finds the wallet under the bed. And she's like, well, that's fucking weird because who would leave without their wallet? Right?
Right.
Like, because the whole thing was like, oh, Michelle, like, packed up and left. They were so, like,
Yeah. Whatever.
But, like, you can't go anywhere without your wallet.
So...
Nicole, at first, before finding the wallet, does think it looks like Michelle ransacked the place and left. But when she finds the wallet, Nicole then mentions the wallet to Robert.
And now she is dead.
No, actually, luckily she does not end up on the list.
Period.
But, this group, because now Robert knows, like, oh shit, Nicole found the wallet. So this group starts calling Nicole and is like, hey, we're friends with Michelle and we want to get the wallet to Michelle. So
what?
Can we get the wallet? But Nicole is a badass and is like, if Michelle wants their wallet, they can come get it. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
But also, John had involved other random people in this scheme to try to get the wallet. And unfortunately, they will come into play later because they have met a similar fate.
Oh my god!
So, eventually they end up with the wallet because Nicole eventually is like, something is fucking weird.
So here, take the wallet.
So gives the wallet. Well, she's like, okay, these people are like hiding something nefarious if they are trying to get this wallet so bad. You know?
So she gives it to him.
Yeah. Because she's like at that point kind of afraid for her own safety. Which I get because fuck that.
I'd be so scared to meet up with him to give it to him.
I know. I'd be like, I'll just toss it on your porch.
Yeah, I'll do a Georgia
bomb. Okay. Can you guess who victim number five is?
I thought it was going to be Nicole.
Do you have another guess?
Is it his current girlfriend?
No, it's Vanessa.
No! Vanessa, well, yeah, good job. It's the actual pedophile.
The one and only pedophile this whole time.
But they got it right once.
So Vanessa was actually at the center of John's rock spider crime wall thing.
What?
Because Vanessa was actually a convicted pedophile.
Yeah, but, like, still, like, they were part of the
But things get more confusing, so just pay attention. So, Vanessa, who is Robert's ex, gets a new boyfriend who is, of course, a teenager.
Oh.
18-year-old Thomas Trevelyan. He has a developmental disability too.
So he, oh my god,
he's 18, but if he has a developmental disability, he's mentally even younger.
Oh, that's so weird. Why are
Yeah. And Vanessa, I'm pretty sure, is like in their 30s at this point.
Maybe little special needs children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sick.
So, at this point, Vanessa, aside from being a convicted pedophile to make them a target, is also talking about all of the murders that they've committed.
Oh my god.
With John and these other people. So, John and his crew, obviously, minus Vanessa, but including Thomas, Vanessa's new boyfriend.
She's gotta go.
They attack Vanessa on October 17th, 1997. Torture Vanessa and kill them.
Are you serious? Her own boyfriend.
Uh-huh. And her ex, or their, I don't know. Their,
whatever their pronoun is.
Their ex-boyfriend, Robert, and John, and yeah.
Current boyfriend,
Thomas. And current boyfriend, who's literally mentally younger than 18.
My current boo, they would shatter me. I would never know peace.
Oh my god.
My soul would roam the earth completely lost.
Literally.
What did I do?
Except Vanessa's a pedophile, so yeah, maybe so they kind of...
But still, it would crush me.
Yeah. Well, you know what they did? They crushed Vanessa's toes and nails with pliers. And before murdering Vanessa by strangulation, John forced them to call their mother to throw people off the trail. So John made Vanessa say to their mom that they were moving to Queensland and wanted nothing to do with their mother anymore. So
you know he's gonna kill you. Why do it?
I know. I'm like, at that point, just say, Mom, I'm being fucking murdered by John Bunting.
Yeah, Mom, John's killing me right now.
Like, that is one thing that I don't get about this whole story, because this becomes part of their MO now. Like, making people either call people or record their voices saying things. Which I guess, if you're recording it, then you can't really do anything. But if you are calling your mom,
yeah,
fucking just say, I'm literally being murdered right now. I'm here at this place. These are the people killing me.
Right.
Because what are they going to do? You're going to die either way. And yeah, now they can fucking figure it out.
Like how they tell you to claw at people. Like,
yeah. To get DNA. I know. It's so fucking crazy. But because Vanessa is an adult, and even though Vanessa goes missing, they called their mom and said, I'm leaving and don't want to ever talk to you again. That's sad. So the police can't really do anything.
Imagine being those parents and then finding out you're...
Right.
Even though they were a piece of shit pedophile.
I know.
I just mean in general.
Yeah.
Like, imagine getting that call from...
Right.
Your child.
No, I know. That's one of the things where I'm like, well, this person was a pedophile, but also, like, and that's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, to do all that.
Living with that, like, what did I do as a parent to deserve this?
Right.
It comes out years later that they were actually murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And have their toes crushed with pliers.
Ooh. Yeah. So, after the murder, Vanessa's body was rolled up in a carpet and kept in the house for a few days before being moved to John's shed to be dismembered and put in a, say it barrel. With me, barrel of acid. And it would be 10 days before they were reported missing. But again, the phone call made it almost impossible for police to do anything.
That's fucking wild.
Because Vanessa could up and leave if they wanted to, so. And now, victim number 6 is Thomas himself.
What?
Thomas Trevelyan.
They're dropping like flies. Vanessa's
boyfriend. I'm telling you, this shit is crazy. And the way that they get caught in part 3 will, like, fucking blow your mind, to be quite honest. But also, like, how are all of these people dropping around them and nobody is suspecting anything?
They're just killing each other now. Like, he's just killing everybody.
Literally.
He's power hungry. He's lost his marbles.
They really fucking have.
Don't forget the mission, soldier.
So, Thomas is victim number 6. He moved in with Robert and Robert's girlfriend, Vicky.
Good old Vicky.
And, this poor little Thomas, the teen.
No.
He confides his concerns for his safety to a cousin because he's like, I was involved in this murder and now I'm worried that I'm gonna be next. And then guess what? He is.
Why did the cousin tell?
Well, the cousin didn't tell, but it just got back to... Well, I don't know how it happened.
He just somehow
found John out. Somehow found out that Thomas had been talking about it. And also, Thomas is 18 and developmentally delayed. So, like,
yeah.
Why would you involve someone like that in a murder anyway? You know they're going to go talk.
Yeah.
That's like having a child, like, come with you to fucking...
Cheat on your wife.
Yeah, and then not expect them to be like, hey, Mom, guess where I went today?
Guess what Daddy was doing.
Like, what the fuck? You're so stupid. Anyway. We're halfway through the victims now because we're at number 6. But John heard about this little talk with his cousin and Thomas admitting to the murder. And...
Nipped in the rat in the bed.
He, you know, Thomas had a troubled upbringing, as most of these people do. He also was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
God.
He had attempted suicide in the past. And so they staged his death as a suicide, which is, like, so fucked up. And also it was in a place called Humbug Scrub.
What the fuck?
I don't fucking know.
Humbug Scrub.
No.
Oh, God.
Like, that has to be the worst part.
That's embarrassing. Humbug Scrub.
So they tied a noose around his neck on November 4th, 1997 and hanged him. And for years, until all this shit came out later, his death was ruled as a suicide, which is so sad.
That's wild.
Yeah. So we're going to move on because what else can you do? 1998.
The year I was born.
That's the year Kayla was born.
Me too.
Do you remember Jamie from part one?
I think so.
It's John's girlfriend slash new girlfriend slash wife's Elizabeth's son.
Yes, yes.
So he is now 17. And
oh no.
Sadly, he is addicted to heroin. As you do. And he invites his friend Gavin Porter, who is another heroin addict, to move into John's house with him.
Big mistake.
And, you know, John is really a big fan of, like, picking and choosing who he likes and who he doesn't like, you know? So he's fine with Jamie's addiction, but he cannot look past Gavin's addiction.
What?
And so Gavin becomes victim number 7.
No, Gavin!
He is 29. John pricked himself on a needle, and of course it's Gavin's fault. So one night when Jamie's not around and Gavin is sleeping in his car on the property, I'm not really sure why he was doing that, but whatever. Maybe he passed out from the heroin.
His heroin thing.
Hashtag just heroin things. Just girly things. Gavin is attacked by none other than John and Robert.
The elusive. The elusive John.
John and Robert. That's like a...
The elusive Chanteuse. That's wild.
He is beat, tortured, killed, dismembered, placed in a barrel of acid. God. Same shit, different day. So Jamie comes back home and is like, hey, where's my friend Gavin?
Where's my friend?
Where my friend?
With my friend. I was just playing Wii.
And John is like, here, I'll show you.
No!
So they go out to the shed. And John shows Jamie his dismembered friend.
Are you serious?
And guess what? The other barrels are there, too. And so John opens those up and also shows Jamie the other barrels.
Why?
And Jamie fucking throws up because he's seeing several bodies.
What would you do?
In barrels of acid. And one of them is his friend.
Does he kill this guy now?
No.
Thank God.
Because he knows so much. Now, he's forced to become part of this group, or else he will be killed.
Oh my god. And he just lost his friend, and now he's forcibly being put in a gang.
And he's a kid. He's 17. And John is like his stepdad, so...
Oh, I would still go and tell.
I mean, yeah, but it's still like a power dynamic. And you know your dad is capable of murdering multiple people.
I would sit in the police station and be like,
that's true.
Killing people, I'm not leaving until you bring them in.
That's true.
I will tell you where to find the bodies. You just killed my lover.
My lover and my friend.
My lover and my friend.
Yeah, so it's really fucked up because now Jamie is a part of this. So now there's like, what, 6 people? I don't even know, involved in this. So
God damn.
We're going to go on to for part 2, our last victim. There will be more victims next time. But our last victim for today is Troy Ude. And he is 21 at the time. Aww. And I don't know if you remember, but Troy is Jamie's, I think it's stepbrother or half-brother or something, who had molested him. I don't know if he's his full brother or his half-brother or what, but Troy had been molested by Jamie's dad.
Oh my god.
And then turned around and molested Jamie when they were kids. So that's why he becomes a target.
So he was a kind of a pedophile too.
Yeah. So John and Robert wake Jamie up in the middle of the night and they're like, hey, we're going to go kill Troy. And they also bring their friend Mark Hayden, who I mentioned in part one. He'll become more part of the story in part three, but he joins in. So they head to Troy's house. They get into his house somehow. I don't know. Maybe they don't lock their doors in Australia. But they assault him in his sleep. They handcuff and tie him up, drag him to the bathroom, beat him and torture him into giving them his bank info.
What the fuck?
They steal his money. They record his voice so they have, like, words that they can put together to make sentences.
What the fuck?
To call people with to, like, throw the police off again.
That is wild.
And then they kill him, obviously. And then they dismember him, throw him in a barrel of acid, yada, yada, yada.
I cannot believe that.
And then Jamie uses his brother's social security benefits to get more drugs because he's an addict.
Oh.
And that is part.
That is wild.
Two.
They're all just, he's rebuilding his team now.
Yeah. I'm worried that I said the wrong thing about that. I'm pretty sure that was the brother that molested him.
It's fine. Sometimes it's bound to be a mistake.
It's fine.
Google is free.
That's true. So
if you know the truth, you can let us know. Or you can just take pride in.
Oh, yeah. Here. I did have it in part one. Troy is Jamie's half-brother.
Period.
And he was molested, and then he molested Jamie. So.
God.
Fun times. That's the cycle of trauma.
The cycle of trauma.
The circle of life. All right, guys. That's part two for you. Happy Mary Chrysler.
Yes.
It's
please be vigilant. January. It's almost time for Daddy Cheeto's fucking presidency.
Good luck out there, everybody.
Be careful, DACA people.
Let's be, like, sharing some resources and shit for people because I'm sure many people are going to struggle through all this.
Yes, so. Just be kind.
Yeah. Well, follow us on social media at the Tipsy Tays. I think I'm going to delete our Twitter because we don't like Elon Musk.
Yeah, and we're also not even going to create a Facebook because we hate Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, so we have an Instagram that we don't really ever update, but that's okay. Yeah,
because he owns that too.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
I don't even fucking know this stuff.
We'll make a Blue Sky account and then...
And a Red Note?
A Red Note.
Blue Sky, Red Note? Why are they called...
Remember that song?
No,
it's on TikTok. It's like the Chinese national anthem. So yeah, praise be to the Chinese Communist Party.
All right. We love you guys. Good luck.
Bye.